MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. Chatting now with Tete Mokele. She is a managing senior associate at Pinsent Masons. Tete, appreciate the early morning time. Research on the construction sector within South Africa showing that from 2008 to 2025, as a slice of GDP, gone from 4.2% to 2.3%. That is a significant shrinking of an important sector in our economy, not just in terms of obviously building infrastructure, but in terms of employment.
Good morning, Simon, and thanks for having me. Definitely, a sobering statistic. But, you know, it's been interesting to see how the industry has adjusted in restructuring overall. So these stats, while important, are reflective, obviously, not just of the construction sector, but the economy generally. So obviously, in times of slowed economic growth, you kind of expect a statistic like this. But like I said, the positive has been the restructuring, how these small to medium enterprises have basically come in and almost filled that gap that was historically filled by the super construction companies on these large mega projects. The small to medium enterprises have found a shoe in, and they're really, you know, they're making inroads, they're contributing to the economy, they're employing people, which is important. So yes, definitely sobering, but on the flip side, it's almost given these smaller entities that generally wouldn't have been able to participate, a way to participate and contribute meaningfully to our economy.
That actually makes a great point, because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking of all the listed construction companies that have disappeared and gone into business rescue over the last 5 years or so. And there's been a lot of them. The rise of the small construction makes a lot of sense. My question then is, do they have the depth of skill and the like, or are they sort of doing joint ventures, perhaps locally, perhaps even with international entities to help some of that resources and some of this expertise?
So some of them have been around for a while.
Yeah.
So the experience is definitely there. It's just a matter of tapping into slightly larger projects. And then on the other side is your relatively newer small to medium enterprises. And that's where this joint venture model that you speak about then comes into play and becomes quite effective. So we see it a lot with local to local joint venture models. And we also see it a lot with international, sometimes Chinese entity local joint ventures. And what that allows both parties to do is to leverage off each other. So you've got the smaller medium enterprises who are on the ground. They can provide the local labor, the resources. They're closer to community issues. They're closer to the community and can get that buy-in from the community. And then the larger entities bring the money muscle. They bring more expertise, more advanced technology. And that allows that skill sharing and transfer so that even those smaller entities are then left with something that they can then use going forward in other projects and hopefully bigger projects going forward.
That was exactly going to be my next point. I mean, we actually get a benefit from it. And I'm always reminded, every large company was once a small company and the small construction companies can grow. And we get that transfer of skills, of knowledge, which we then have as a country, as a small construction sector.
That's exactly it. So,
It's
a win-win for both.
Hugely important.
A win-win for both sides.
Important part here, of course, is government as a sort of an important leg in terms of a contract, in terms of funding, in terms of helping drive the sector as well. Are they playing their part? Are we seeing activity coming from government into the sector?
We are seeing quite a lot of activity in the government sector just trying to source that funding, but I think it would be a huge burden for them to carry on their own. Mm-hmm. So what I think they need to focus on, in addition to trying to almost front load the initial stages of the projects, de-risk those initial phases, to make sure that the projects get running, get going. There aren't unnecessary bottlenecks, red tape. You have the necessary regulatory frameworks that facilitate whatever permits, licenses, et cetera, are required from a contracting side, you ensure that as much as you can, there's almost like a ring fencing of funds, because that's another stumbling block for some of these smaller, more inexperienced contractors. Mm-hmm. Once that money hits, it goes elsewhere and not necessarily to the project. So if you can de-risk that initial stage with the initial government involvement and funding, make sure the regulatory frameworks are in place, I think then you start winning more private sector investor confidence. Yeah, yeah. And they then, you know, have the confidence to then come in off the back end and fund and hopefully see the projects to completion. So I think it would be a big task for government alone, but if they can get that initial stage right, then you're more likely to get more buy-in from the private sector.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, government almost as a leg up in a sense, and a leg up in a positive sense rather than a negative. We'll leave it there. That's Tete Mokele, Managing Senior Associate at Pinson Manson's. Appreciate the early morning time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.